Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast. We cover everything Major League, from spring training to the World Series. We've got your favorite club covered, from New York to Boston to LA. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the GSMC Baseball Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, as always, Jeff Malinoff, and I've been gone a little bit. It's been about a week absence since we did a last show. I was in lovely Hawaii, enjoying my time with family and people that I love dearly. And, well, as I was there, enjoying the sun, getting kind of burned, I was watching, I covered myself in sunscreen, and I went out there for 6.5 hours, and I still got burned to a crisp, and I'm like, yeah, there was no sunscreen stopping 6 hours of sun in Hawaii. But regardless, basically, what happened while I was there was interesting. Mike Trout got paid, and he got paid big time. And I remember, I think I woke up because there's obviously a time difference, and I was still kind of jet lagged. It was, I think, the first day I was there. I kind of forget when, but I do remember seeing my phone and just seeing the contract. And basically, it's absurd. I think we all guessed it was absurd, but his current contract, he got the extension he wanted. Well, I mean, it was unknown what he wanted, because it sounded like Bryce Harper was trying to recruit him to Philadelphia when his contract expired in 2020. But, well, he got his contract on a 12-year, or is it 13-year? No, he signed a 12-year $430 million contract, $426.5 million to be exact, with incentives. I believe there are incentives on that. And all of it's guaranteed, of course. And also included a $20 million signing bonus. So an annual average of, get this, $35,541,667. Per year. And I would just like $1,667 a year. And he gets 35 mil. It's absolutely absurd. So his base salary will be 16 million. And of course, the signing bonus will carry on for a total salary of a base of $17,666,667. That is for, I believe, this season alone, this 2019 season. And the next season, he gets his $35 million a year. And his contract expires in 2031. So, but before that, he also signed a six-year, $144.5 million contract in 2015. So, obviously, he is not getting the 2019 and 2020 pay of $33 million a year. But I think he's going to be okay, because instead of getting 30, instead of this year getting 33.2 and next year getting 33.25 million, this year he will get his 17 million. But 2020, he'll get 36 million, and then 35.4, then 35.4, and 35.4. Throughout the rest of this of his contract. So 2031, that is a long time from now. That is, well, it's 12 years from now. 2019 minus 20, 31 is, well, you know, 12. So I will be 35. I'm going to be 35 by the time that contract ends. And how? And Mike Trout is about my age, if I'm not mistaken. His age is, he's 27. So he's 4 years older than me. So he will be 39 by the end of his contract. And the question remains, well, not the question, but I have a little interesting little theory about this. Maybe not theory, but this changes baseball forever. This changes how people sign players and how contracts are negotiated and how off seasons are played out. It's never going to be the same. Because, and I'll tell you why. Because the fact of the matter is, how do I explain this? The fact of the matter is, everyone's price just went up. Because now, $430 million is now the cap. But that's not going to be the cap for long. There's going to be eventually a guy asking for $450, and then $490, if you will. Then it's going to get up to $500 million. I am going to guess right now that it's going to that there will be a $500 million contract in baseball by 2025. You know what? Even sooner. Let's say 2023. There will be a let's stick with 2025. Better that way. There will be a $500 million contract. Unknown about the years, probably like a 15-year contract. But regardless, this is changing how everyone is looking at free agency. Because now, Bryce Harper broke the bank with 330 being the highest free agent signing to a new team in history. Now, this is the biggest signing for a... the tryout is the biggest signing just overall in history. And I remember how crazy everyone went when Stanton got his 327 from the Marlins, which then was picked up by New York because who else could afford that kind of contract? Well, apparently a lot of teams can now. Well, maybe not. Who knows? But regardless of that, it's truly incredible to see how far or how quickly it has escalated to the contracts getting astronomically high. With Mike Trout's sponsorships as well, it would not surprise me if he gets $1 billion in his lifetime. Like, seriously, why would that be shocking? That wouldn't be shocking to me in the slightest. And I don't think that would be shocking to anyone, to be completely honest. So, with that being said, like, who's going to be the guy that gets $500 million? Who's going to be the guy that breaks Mike Trout's contract? Is it going to be Judge? Which it very well could be. Betts, J.D. Martinez, maybe even a pitcher. But regardless, I think we're getting to a point where maybe we're getting too high. Now, I know everyone thinks they're overpaid, and they're totally overpaid. I mean, $430 million to play baseball is absurd, but... They can afford it, you know. It's leading to probably profit in the future due to him being his jersey selling and tickets selling because they want to see Mike Trout play. It works out in the long run, probably. But it hurts them in general. It hurts the Angels in general just because of the fact now they have to pay him that much money. Can they afford somebody else to compliment him? Probably not. And... you know, I really don't know how else to really really think about this because who knows what's going to be the new highest paid contract in baseball history. Because obviously, like, U.S. sport, national sport, basketball, baseball, basketball and football have come close to that. I mean, Yeah, NBA players get their Supermax contract like $230 million, which is still great. But Mike Trout has $200 million more. He almost doubles their contract. You know? It's absolutely, like, it's getting to a point where maybe, just maybe, teams are maybe paying too much. I know it's a tough thing to say, like, too much. Like, oh, yeah, $100 million was just not, just too low or just right, you know? It's like, of course, that was too much as well. But, of course, it's a long contract, too. You got to look at it that way. Also, 12-year contract paid $35 million over that time. So it's not like they're paying that straight up. They're obviously taking time to pay that. But regardless, they're going to have to pay him all that money. He's getting $430 million one way or another in a kind of a mean thing to do, in a kind of a coward, well, maybe not a coward, but like in a selfish way, he could say, I'm done with baseball. I'm not sure if his contract states anything like that, if he can retire or not or whatever, but he could be in, like, he could say, I'm done with baseball and still get paid that $430 million in the next 12 years. I'm sure he still can. And then, of course, God forbid, a season-ending injury, he's still getting paid that much money and all things, all this other things. So there's no way, almost like there's no way out of that contract for the Angels. It seems like Mike Trout kind of put them in a bind. And I think Mike Trout can also thank his lucky stars that Bryce Harper was open about saying he wants him to come to Philly. Because I think that's what bottom line is. I think that's what really drove the Angels to pay him that absurd amount of money, is because they were worried he would go to Philadelphia with Bryce Harper and become a superstar or super team there. And honestly, that could have been totally the reason. And honestly, Mike Trout totally could use that as leverage. Like, you know what Bryce Harper was saying? Like, he's not lying, you know. I would love to go over there and win a championship if you don't pay me the money I want, or don't pay me the money you think I deserve, or so on and so forth. There's something of that nature. And it kind of worked, obviously. He got his money. He got the money. Like, I don't think anyone's competing with that kind of money for years to come. See, that's the thing. You think no one's coming close to that, but they are. They're going to be. There's going to be a guy paid more than Mike Trout is paying right now. It's got to get to that point. I think the most we'll get to $500 million. And then it's possible that will be surpassed. Isn't that like, that's just an amazing way to think about it and going on about it like that. And just like I said, I can't explain it better than that. Baseball has changed forever. Free agency has changed forever. Because now, can teams even afford these kind of contracts with these superstars that are going to be free agents, you know? Is it going to be now, is it time for to think about that maybe drafting and prospects are almost going to be, or just going to be as crucial, and calling players up is going to be more crucial than signing a free agent superstar because of how much money they're going to be paid? Like, are you going to think, okay, this guy could be a superstar, but we don't have to pay him that much money. We don't have to break bank for him for a period of time until 6 years down the road or something of that nature. And then we can worry about paying him. But he can be a superstar for us for the time being, and we can win a game. We can win playoff games. We can win World Series with him until that time where we have to break the bank for him. You know, it's maybe time. It's maybe now the time for the draftees and the prospects to shine, while the superstars are looking for that absurd amount of money. You know, it's changing the game. It's changing how free agency and off seasons will be forever. But with that, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the worst max contracts in history and thinking, maybe these max contracts are a sign of biggest bust contracts even going to extend for the future. We'll be right on that when we return.
This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA. It's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
Welcome back to the GSMC Baseball Podcast, talking about now the worst contracts entering 2019. Let's do this. It's going to be funskies. Well, there's some honorable mentions here. Let's think about Eric Hosmer's contract with the Padres, his seven-year, $123 million contract. It's an player opt-out after 2022. We'll see how he does further down the line for the Padres with the addition of Manny Machado. But we'll see how everything turns around. All right, let's move to contracts that might be taking too long to end. Such as Jason Hayward. His remaining contract with the Cubs is 5 years, $106 million. But he did win a World Series, this is true. But, you know, during their championship run, he batted 104, and that is abysmal. Absolutely abysmal. And he's making all-star money. The thing is with Jason Hayward, he's basically non-existent. And it just seems like he's just there as a outfielder, you know? He just seems to be participating. He probably got a World Series ring for participation. But, yeah, 5 years, $106 million, and have nothing to really... help the Cubs out in any way, shape, or form on his 8-year deal when he signed it. Just seems that he's being more of a waste of money than anything else. And then, you can't cut him because you still got to pay him $106 million. So you're stuck with this guy for 5 years unless you trade him. And I don't think anyone's going to trade for Jason Hayward. I really don't. There's also Justin Zimmerman. He's still got 2 years and only $50 million. And he was basically paid like an ace. He got a 5-year, $110 million deal from the Tigers. And he had a pretty good ERA, in the previous 5 seasons before joining the Tigers. He had a 3.14 career ERA, which is good. And, 7.3 strikeouts per 9 innings, which is actually, impressive. And he also became the first pitcher to receive a $100 million contract after undergoing Tommy John surgery. Should have been a little hint there. He was a solid starter and could definitely do some good stuff. But then he posted a 5.24 ERA and a 6.4 strikeouts per 9 innings in 3 seasons with the Tigers. And consecutive seasons, they've lost 98 games. They would probably settle for his last year 4.52 and 1.26 whip. It's just that he's 32 now. Like I said, he had Tommy John surgery. Seems like it wasn't the contract they were expecting. And with that, let's move on to... Well, we can also think about Bobby Bellina as still the worst current contract in baseball because he hasn't played jack. But, you know what else has been super disappointing? The San Francisco Giants, when they signed Johnny Cueto, they paid him a 6-year, $130 million contract. And he started out great. He had a 2.79 ERA and 219.2 innings pitched for the Giants in their first season. But he had Tommy John surgery as well, which is also like a big factor. And out of 53 innings before getting shut down in August, at the start of August for the season, he had 38 strikeouts in 53 innings, which is terrible. And his four-seam fastball was 89 miles an hour. Yeah. There's a $22 million club action with a $5 million buyout for 2022, but they're kind of stuck with them for the time being. It's just not looking good over there for the Giants as well, especially with their CEO and how he's been treating his wife in public and all that controversy that's been going on as well. Just doesn't look too good for the Giants, especially with that kind of contract for a pitcher that's not been producing as much as they hoped. Also, there's well, I hate to bring him up because he's just been injury plagued, and he was a Triple Crown winner, an AL MVP in consecutive seasons before he signed this contract, but he signed an 8-year, $248 million extension. But ever since that time, he has not really reached his Triple Crown height, if you will. He still has 5 years, $154 million left on his contract with a $30 million club option with an $8 million buyout in 2024. So, again, they're stuck with him. And I don't think anyone's trading for Miguel Cabrera to get his contract because he's past his prime, unfortunately. He's past his best years. His best years are far behind him. He had great seasons. AL MVP twice in consecutive seasons is no joke, as well being a Triple Crown winner, which is a rare occurrence nowadays. And then his body almost gave up on him. It's really sad, to say the least. And with that being said, it just looks to me that when it comes down to it at this time, that the Miguel Cabrera contract seems to be one of the decimates for the Tigers, as they have been struggling basically since they signed him to that contract. And I mean, they went to the World Series in 2012 when he had that Triple Crown win, but then they got swept in the World Series to the Giants, who I just finished talking about. They haven't made it since. They haven't really competed that closely since. I mean, they made the playoffs the next season, but really, what have they done since they've been swept in the World Series? They haven't really had an ability to come back. Maybe not an ability to come back, but haven't been good enough to get back to that promised land of the World Series. And so I guess they were thinking when they signed Cabrera to that contract, first, he two MVPs, Triple Crown winner, of course, and all that stuff. You can't really deny that kind of production. And they were thinking, oh, yeah, this guy could definitely be our future star. He can definitely continue to contribute, and we can be good for years to come. Obviously, that was not the case. And it's turning out to be now a disappointing signing for the Tigers, as they are looking in a rebuild mode for the next 10 years. It feels like they are going to be rebuilding for the longest time, and I don't think they're going to be back in a World Series. You know, I'll even say this. Mike Trout's contract from 2030 to 2031, up until that time, I will say definitely that the Tigers will not make a World Series appearance in that time. And I mean that. That's how not good they look. That's how poor they look. That's how their front office looks pretty dire at this point. And it just looks to me that there is no coming out of this dark hole that they are currently in. And it's sad, sure. But, you know, what are you going to do? So with that being said, there is one more contract I want to discuss that should be discussed and should be looked at and going like, what the blue heck is going on here? Chris Davis. And I think a couple months ago, I remember discussing him and saying, my gosh, he's just – he finished with the worst batting average of all time, 168. And how can a guy that's a first baseman DH power hitter hit for 168? I could hit for 168 in the majors. I just have to, like, that's just absurd, right? And yeah, like, I could perform better. A single A player could have performed better. And apparently by per Fangraphs dollar values for his performance last year in 2018, Davis was worth a amazing $24.9 million. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. There's a negative in front of that. He was worth negative $24.9 million in 2018 by his performances. He's costing the Orioles money by stepping onto the plate rather than getting them money. That's how bad, that is how absurd that is, that how bad he did. Legendarily bad. And it's not over. He still has a 4 years left on his contract, worth $68 million. And what was his contract? What was his contract before? Went before this, before the remaining contract? Like, what did he sign to? I will gladly tell you, because you might laugh this out loud like I did. He signed for a 7-year, $161 million contract. And he, for last season's performance, he was rewarded $17 million. $17 million. For the worst season any player has ever had on the plate. He has gained $17 million. And added to the Orioles' luxury tax of $23 million for this 2019 season. And you know, no one, and I mean no one, is going to trade for him. And I don't know what else to say. I am in shock. I am in awe. And his upcoming deferred contract. So if 2023 is when he's a free agent. So he could also sign after that contract for a 15-year, $42 million contract with $3.5 million a year up until 2033, where he'll get 1.4 until 2037. That's obviously not happening. I don't see him getting that contract, averaging a salary of $2.8 million a year for 15 years. I don't see that happening. The fact that he's getting $17 million a year now is absurd. And no one's going to put him, no one's going to trade for him because of how poorly he's been playing. The Orioles have the worst contract to the worst player in the league. He's the worst hitter in the league, and he has one of the highest contract, and he has a $161 million contract. Where can I sign up to get that kind of money to play that badly? No, seriously. What can I do? Where can I sign? What agent is he talking to? I'm so confused. How did this all happen? I need answers. This doesn't make sense. The world doesn't make any sense. I mean, the world kind of makes sense, but I am speechless. No, I'm never speechless because that's my job, to be not speechless. But It's just absurd. It's actually absurd. And obviously, I don't think that would be Mike Trout's destiny. I think there's more to it. I think there's going to be more of a opportunity for Mike Trout to get better because he's that good. And bottom line is, Orioles, you done messed up, son. You have, congratulations, Orioles. You have the worst player in baseball, and you gave him a $161 million contract over 70 years. Tell him what they won. Oh, wait, they lost? Where'd they lose? Oh, they lost all that money that they signed the worst player in baseball. Got it. I don't know how to think of this. But that is one of the worst contracts I've seen, and forever will be one of the worst contracts I've ever seen. But we are going to take a short break. And when we come back, we will talk about dead money. And with dead money, you think about the Dodgers, because they have a lot of that dead money. And I'll explain all of that when we return.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back, everyone, to the GSMC Baseball Podcast. Just talked about max contracts that are absolutely horrible, and we also talked about Mike Trout's massive, massive King Kong-sized contract. Maybe King Kong would be jealous of, like, that's huge. You know that movie, like, there's supposed to be a movie of King Kong versus Godzilla coming out, or maybe there's an old version of it, like, where it's, like, and, like, it's toys, obviously. It's just one of those kind of movies. But there's also supposed to be one coming out between the two as well in the near future. Maybe it got canceled, I'm not sure. But actually, it should be now Godzilla versus King Kong versus Mike Trout's contract. Mike Trout's contract special ability is to throw pens. I am getting carried away with this idea, but I think it should be made. I should get a call from Warner Brothers or any other big-time movie corporation company in the next couple of minutes. Nope, nothing. Okay, moving on then. So, with contracts and free agency and all this stuff and releasing and trading and whatnot, there is dead money involved in baseball, just like there's dead cap in football and probably basketball as well. So, who do you think has the most dead cap or dead money, if you will? That would be your Los Angeles Dodgers. They have $40 million plus dollars in dead money. And as that means, they have $40 million plus dollars, I think it's up to $43 million, worth of contracts to players that will never step onto the field in a Dodgers uniform or step in the dugout or anything of that nature again. Well, maybe not again. Maybe not even. It didn't even happen in the first place. But the fact is, the Dodgers spent so much money in free agency, like more than some probably some countries in the world, and they have $40 million plus dollars of money they cannot use because they're paying players who are not even who are not even on their team anymore. And that just begs the question. I said this with the Mike Trout contract. Is it time to just worry about prospects and improving them in the minor leagues and thinking about the future that way instead of wasting all this money on free agents that you think are going to be the one that puts you over the top and wins the World Series? But honestly, like, it's getting to a point where this is like $40 million. That's putting a lot at that's putting a lot of money off the table for the Dodgers to use in offseason. They probably could have paid Bryce Harper a lot more if they didn't have that 40 plus dead money. Like, it's possible reason that that could have been a big reason why that didn't work out. Or that he just didn't want to play there. There's a lot of other talks about that too. But who knows? But regardless, it just seems to me that if that's 40 plus million in dead money for the Dodgers, that obviously I think that's the most dead money of anyone in the league. Does that mean there's not going to be a lot of more openings for the Dodgers to win a World Series? I mean, they've been to back-to-back World Series. But how can they make it three in a row to World Series? And can they win one? Can they get over this hump that they've been on? Like, it's unknown of what the outcome will be for this team. And is this team going downhill sooner rather than later? Like, they got rid of Puig. They got rid of Matt Kemp. And people were like, oh, okay, that's the right move. We just got to get, we're getting more money and all that. And I get that part. But I think there's also something wrong when it comes down to the point where they're spending money so easily, if you will. Well, they are spending money that easily. To a point where they are okay with having that, maybe not okay, but they can accept the fact they have 40 plus million in dead money and they can still afford these high profile players. Now, does that mean there's a problem with how they're doing their money? I think that's an absolute fact. But, you know, will the Dodgers make it to a third straight World Series despite having that much money in dead cap? You know, I will have to say probably. They're still that good of a team. They still have great players. I'm not going to say they're going to have they still have Clayton Kershaw, and they still have, wow. They, you know, they just were a solid team last year. And I was going to say they still have, like, they lost Puig, which is also a problem. And people thought maybe he wasn't as good as everyone saw he was. But, you know, it just seems to me that the Dodgers are falling off a cliff. I really think that's the problem. I think the Dodgers are in the middle of a downslide. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's not the actual case. But it would not surprise me if that's what happens. If the outcome of this dead money leads to a possible downhill slide for the Dodgers, and maybe this was their last chance this last year to win a World Series. And, of course, they were totally outmatched against the best team in baseball in the Boston Red Sox, who probably have a chance to repeat this year because they didn't lose much in the offseason. So, and then there's also the facts of, well, there's a lot of talented teams in the NL West with the Dodgers that are competing just as good. Like, there's the Rockies and the Diamondbacks who are making some noise in the regular season. I'm not sure if the Giants are going to make that noise. I think they're going to be at the bottom. And the Dodgers might be there with them. I really think that's what's going to be the outcome of this in the long run. I think, honestly, with how they've been moving money around and trading these players, the Dodgers have, and being kind of reckless, in my opinion, I think they won't make it back to the World Series. I think they won't win that. They won't get over that hump. They won't go back to that hump again. I think they lost that opportunity. And maybe it was bad luck too. They played two amazing teams. The Houston Astros were no joke. They were an amazing team offensively and defensively. And the Red Sox had 108 wins, and that speaks for itself. And they had the AL MVP on their team as well. Actually, they had two AL MVP candidates. Like, it was between JD Martinez and Mookie Betts. And that's how good they were. Just like when two of your players are the two front runners for the MVP, and you also have Chris Sale, who's on a rampage, basically being even like especially just how they were pitching in the postseason was also ridiculous. They were just closing everybody out. It just seemed like there was no adversary that was going to be able to risk them losing, not winning the World Series, maybe except for the Yankees, but they handled them. And I didn't think the Dodgers were winning that World Series. I don't think a lot of people had faith in them based on how talented the Red Sox were. So bottom line is, I think it's the end of this reign for the two-time NL champion Los Angeles Dodgers, and we might be seeing the Philadelphia Phillies since the acquisition of Bryce Harper and the fact they had a pretty decent season last year, all things considered. But with the addition of the superstar that is Bryce Harper, who definitely will bring something to this team, I think there's an opportunity for the Phillies to be that new NL, NL King, basically. And maybe be win a World Series like they did in 2008. So, and you know, it's funny because looking at that 2018, there's also they were playing the Rays. And the Rays, if it wasn't for how good the AL East was, they would have been in the playoffs. So maybe they will reach that playoff promised land themselves. Who knows? But regardless, there's a tide changing when it comes to the National League. And we'll see how when the season begins and opening day goes down. And I'm looking forward to opening day. I'm looking forward to seeing how every team looks and who's on those opening day rosters and what's going to be the outcome for each team. And, you know, if I had to make a guess now, I would say the Red Sox are going to repeat. But definitely get back to the World Series is a very logical standpoint. The Phillies, I think, have a good chance to make the World Series, but I'm not going to say they definitely will yet. I'm still thinking more along the lines of, there's still a lot of teams, a lot of tenacity. Like I said, the Colorado Rockies and Arizona Diamondbacks are no one to sleep on either. Houston Astros they're in the American League. I apologize. Never mind. They used to be in the National League. That's why I got confused. But it's that kind of thing where you're looking at it overall and thinking, okay, the Cubs can still be competitive, possibly. When you're looking at, like, it's so hard to tell. Like, I'm thinking of NL West teams that can still be competitive. Looking at the NL East, I honestly just see the Philadelphia Phillies in that sense. Since Atlanta Braves can also be a big factor in that for them too. I feel like the NL is not officially handed to the Phillies yet, as many people think. So we'll see how everything goes down. And even the Washington Nationals, even without Bryce Harper, still have a pretty talented front rotation, pitching rotation that could also be a big factor as well. So we'll all look into that. But that is our show for the day. Thank you so much for joining me today. And I believe this is my last baseball podcast. So, yes, my contract is expiring at the end of the month, and I will not be continuing doing this. But I will say that from the bottom of my heart, I've enjoyed coming, talking to you about baseball every chance I had to do this podcast. I've had an absolute blast. Whether you disagreed with me or agreed with me, I enjoyed speaking to all of you. I enjoyed being right next to Mark Souza for a couple of months there as well, talking about baseball. And it's been an amazing time experience here. And I'm hoping to continue, hopefully, speaking for a living, possibly doing sports or whatever have you, whatever my path leads to. I'm excited for that next chapter. But for now, I'm Jeff Malinoff, and I'll just see you later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Baseball Podcast.
part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.